Hey guys, and welcome to the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, presented by Great Days Outdoors Magazine. The first podcast to bring you the local fishing report for Alabama's lakes and rivers, whether it's good, bad, or ugly. I'm your host, Nick Williams, and this week's show is brought to you by... All right, folks, welcome back to another week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report. Heating up all across Alabama, we're finally into the dreaded 90s. And I reckon we're going to stay there for a little while. So hope you get your swim trunks and your sunglasses out. Put all your winter clothes away. Went this morning. Caught a few bluegill early morning topwater bite. And I actually committed a little bit of sacrilege. I kept some fish. We're going to fry them up with some chanterelle mushrooms I picked this morning before I had to start my work day. So it's getting right in Alabama. And this week we're here to talk with a new contributor to the show. We're here to talk with Peter John Cole, who fishes up on the Cahaba River. Stephen Rockarts has been telling me that I need to have you on the show for a while, Peter, and I definitely appreciate you taking time out of your schedule to be here.
And Nick, I sure appreciate you having me. I've been, like we were talking about earlier, I've been listening to the show for quite a while now. Stephen turned me on to it, and Andre Davis and some of them guys, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, old Andre. I'm hoping Andre's going to buy a pack raft from me. He reached out to me the other day when I posted that one up there for sale. And I think he's interested in using it to hop across some of the holes in the creeks he fishes up there. So I hope he ends up with it. I hope he puts it to good use. So that'll make me happy if he has it.
I hope he does too. And he's going to be boat poor because he just came to my house, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks, month ago, and picked up a canoe from my house that I had for him.
Okay, good deal. Yeah, he mentioned that he had to run it by his wife and make sure that he, you know, didn't expand the flotilla beyond what the admiral was happy with.
I didn't
know that was your canoe. No, that's awesome, man. Canoes, man, over the years, I wish I had a count. I've probably owned close to two dozen small boats that I've horse traded. It's an addiction.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut mine down, and my wife's going to be real tickled whenever I get some of the outboard motors out of the driveway. I think I got five sitting out there right now in all various stages of disrepair. So, but, you know, works in, you're not, it's like being lost. You're not really lost if you end up getting where you was going.
Yeah.
So they ain't broke. They just ain't fixed yet.
That's it. Yeah, you have an idea what's wrong with them, and you just need the part. Yeah. That's it. My wife has told me for years that I got her stuck on a WMA road on our anniversary. We was up there at the Little River WMA outside DeSoto, and I wanted to go ride a little bit. And she says we were stuck, but as everybody knows, if you didn't have to call somebody to come get you, you were never stuck.
You were never really stuck.
If you get yourself out of the hole, you were not stuck in the hole. It's only if you have to call somebody to pull you out. And yeah, the motor's not broke if you know what's wrong with it.
That's right. You ain't lost if you end up getting where you was going. I mean, you can extrapolate that principle to all manner of ideas.
That's it. What was it Davy Crockett said? He said, "I've never been lost, but I have been confused.
Bewildered for three days once.
Yeah.
I was bewildered once for 3 days.
Well, what's everything looking like on the Cahaba, man?
And so the Cahaba has been really, really fun this spring and summer. So in the pre-spawn, we were fishing 3-inch streamers. So I got a little thing that I commissioned from Micah Pounds over at Angler Momentum Flies. So Micah tied up these little 3-inch streamers for me, articulated, and got a single hook in the back, little rabbit fur in there, and olive green with a little bit of purple dub in there. Was really killing it. Had a client go out, and I think he caught four over 3 pounds in one hole. So we were fishing the deep current and just dead drifting streamers, and that was a fun bite. And then now here we sit on the backside of spawn. So I'll talk about the last 2 days especially and what I project is coming up in this upcoming week. So we got another dry week. Cahaba's running a little low. I think we're sitting at 2.2 right now. So this weekend we're at 2.27 on Sunday. I did a double float. I think we put 25 or 30 in the boat, we had two fish before lunch, and it was kind of disheartening because we were fishing hard. Really felt like they should have been holding a little bit higher than they were. I'll tell you, it hit about 105, 115 in the afternoon, and the bite turned on. And I don't think it mattered what you threw, but we were throwing number four double barrel poppers, some rivet rolls from John Lohr, and running some little Clouser minnows about 2.5 inches, real sparse. Heavy dumbbell eyes on those, running those through the currents, and the bite picked up, and man, we were getting into the fish. And so that was Sunday. Had a great trip. And then Monday, went back out. And so that was with two fellas from the Rainbow Fly Fishing Club up there in Rainbow City, Gadsden area. And then it was Ben Lackey and Terry Stowe. Terry Stowe is currently the president of Rainbow Fly Fishing Club. And then on Monday, I had Miss Melinda Splawn and Miss Sharon, also from the Rainbow Fly Fishing Club. They came down. Same story. We went all through the shoals. When we got to the bottom of the shoals, bite started picking up, but it was right at 1 o'clock again. And so me and Rockerts have talked about it, and it's the full moon that we've got going right now. Those fish are eating heavy late in the evening and then into the night, and they're just laid up in a hole in the morning time, just not feeding. So I expect as we get into this waning side of this moon, we're going to start seeing the morning bite start picking back up a little bit, and then we'll get that full day bite, and we'll probably have a midday lull again on the Gaba. But Monday, rivet rolls, double barrel poppers, we kind of stuck to, I worked with them on some streamer game, and we had a little bit of luck there running clousers and some of those, the fly that I was talking about, Micah Pounds ties for me, is the three-peat, that little articulated streamer. And so we ran that a little bit, ran some heavy dumbbell eye clousers, bright colors, bright day. And as we started getting down there to the bottom of the shoals, just as soon as I got over one of the little riffles there, I pulled the boat over, and there was a big blow up on top of the shoal. And I said, you know what? I know we're all ready for a sandwich, but I really want to go fish this. And we went over there again with the number four rivet rolls from John Lohr, dark top. Yellow chartreuse bottom, phenomenal. Absolutely wore it out all day. Blue double barrel poppers, wore it out all day. And man, it turned on. And I know those ladies, I don't know how many fish we ended up putting in the boat by the time it was all said and done. And I tell you, they were really troopers, because they fished that thing all the way to the bottom.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great. And right there, maybe about 300 yards from the takeout, I was really wanting Melinda to get on a little bit bigger class of fish. And she was throwing that double barrel popper up against the rock wall. And the Cahaba, and I'm sure Rockers has, I know that he's talked about this before, a funny thing that I found the first time that Stephen and I got to fish Big River Cahaba, not just wading, but actually got to fish off the boat together, is all of Stephen's experience, independent on his own, all of my experience on my own on this same piece of water. And independently over all those years, we found that we have come to all the exact same conclusions. And I thought that was really edifying, that we've run our own experiments for all these years and then come back to the same thing.
I want to circle back to something that you were talking about earlier with, you talked about just the bite turning on there at lunch. And that to me is the craziest thing, but I have watched it where you can fish an area and not catch anything, and sometimes it turns on and turns right back off, you know, like you'll have an hour where you're just hauling in fish and you're like, man, like I can't screw this up, I can do no wrong, like I really know what I'm doing. And then about the time you get confident in it, it turns back off and you're like, well, I guess that was the fun for today. I know I've sat out there before here on the swamp where I'm at and got out there after work and it be on a pattern where you just knew, like, there is no point doing anything until like the frogs start chirping, you know, like frogs start chirping, sun starts setting. And I guess, I don't know if it's that little shift in temperature or what it is, but like something will happen. And then it's like, okay, now we can fish. And I've told people before, I've took people and they were like, well, shouldn't we at least put a line out? And it's like, you can do what you want to do, but I'm going to sit here, like, rig up, drink a beer, unwind, get ready. It's not right.
Absolutely.
Yet.
Yeah. And when you get it dialed in, especially if you're fishing a certain area, so consistently. You know, you pretty well get it dialed in. You can set your watch to it. Like, I'm telling you right now, and probably for the next, I'd say for the next 4 days, the gaba, absolutely get out there and enjoy the water all morning and fish it hard and work on your casting, whatever. But don't get disheartened. Anybody that goes out there, don't get disheartened if you're not catching fish early in the day, and don't doubt your flies. Don't doubt your tactics. Work on your presentation. But 1 o'clock, you better be ready to start catching fish, because that's when it's going to hit.
Talked about being out there and just enjoying the place. And next up, we're going to have some folks on here to talk about the Tallapoosa River Fest. And that's something that I really like about fly fishing, is that it lends itself well to just really scenic places, you know, like little shallow waters, backwaters, creeks and stuff like that. And, you know, the Cahaba, the little bit of time I've been on it, it's a very pretty river to be on, even if you never take a rod out of a tube. Like, you kill a whole day and have an excellent time.
That's an absolute fact. And it's real hard, regardless of fishing conditions, it's real hard to be upset being on the water in such a beautiful place. And I tell you, the Cahaba, there's pieces of the Cahaba that make you feel like you're almost in a prehistoric time, man. It's so removed from everything else. You don't hear a car. You hear nothing but nature. Water running over, you know, water riffles. And, of course, right now, cicadas hollering at you. But
That was next on my list of questions to ask you, was how's the cicada apocalypse going?
So the Cahaba right now is funny. There's, when you're on one end of it, you won't hear a single thing. And then you get down to the other end, and it's that same drum that you're getting everywhere else. Almost sounds like a tornado siren just humming in the background.
And what's crazy is I have friends from up in Michigan who will call, and I'll be sitting on my back porch talking to them in the evenings, and they'll be like, hey, let me call you back. There's some sort of interference or something. And they're like, I don't know, what is that, on your end or my end? And I'm like, what? I don't, what? That ringing sound. Oh, no, that's just the local wildlife. They're like, how do you live with that? Like, you just tune it out.
Yeah, man, how do y'all live without it?
Yeah, right. It'd be disconcerting if it was quiet out there on the river in the evenings, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't know what to think. And you're talking about the next guest you got coming on. So I know they just had the down there at the Cahaba Wildlife Refuge, they just had the Cahaba Lily Festival down there at West Blockton. And David Butler, champion of our Cahaba River Keepers, and all the incredible work that they do. I know they were out there, saw pictures, had big turnout. Sunday evening, man, I didn't know if I was going to be able to get my clients back to their car, because there were so many folks still out there on the on River Trace Road, just hanging out and looking at all the lilies, enjoying the water. And man, it sure makes you happy to see everybody enjoying that resource like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we've had David on in the past to talk about the work they do up there on the Cahaba. And, you know, that river, you know, there's places on it where, like you talk about, it's really rural, remote feeling, you know, but then it also, like, the headwaters is just right up there in, you know, the largest metro area that we really have in the state. And can't get more different, you know, for the environment. And it's something that, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, right? Like, what I tell people is, if you have a good, clean, pretty river, like, there's people working in the background to try to keep it that way.
Yeah, that's a fact. And the road was all cleaned up down there. And, you know, you just, when you care so much about a resource, it just really makes your heart happy to see other people that are take so much time and pride in taking care of that thing and making it nice for everybody to enjoy. And it's, you know, it's a lot of hard work. There's no doubt about it. I know they pour a ton of time and personal time and effort and everything else into it, keeping those keeping the waterways clean. And, you know, keeping up with the Cahaba, that's a lot of miles of river to keep up with.
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the things in Alabama, is we have so much of it, you know, and it all, I appreciate the work that they do, because, like, we were talking last week with Jason Thornberry with the Nature Conservancy, and, you know, all of that stuff, it drains right through my backyard eventually. The Tallapoosa, the Coosa, the Cahaba, it all ends up down here. So what happens there affects me, you know, it's all interconnected. So I definitely appreciate the work that they're doing up there at Cahaba River Keepers. And Yeah, it's a pretty place. The lilies, the fishing, like it's a different biome, and it's something too that you can kind of miss going, up and down Alabama on the I-65 corridor. Like you never see it, so it's kind of off the beaten trail.
Right.
And there's people that I've talked to who are locals and who fish who've never fished the Cahaba, which blows my mind. That's a river that would stand out as a star feature in a lot of other states that aren't as blessed as we are with water resources,
Nick, I grew up my whole life 40 minutes from it, and until I got into fly fishing about 10 years ago or so, that's one of the things, and like you were saying earlier, one of the things that I love about fly fishing and that I have really adored about it is the places that it leads you to go and leads you to explore. I grew up fishing Lay Lake and Gunnersville and Waxahachie Creek on Lay Lake, and I grew up in Wilsonville, so those were all my, local areas. But then you find the Cahaba and you realize what a beautiful resource it is, what an incredible river it is, and how much of it there is to enjoy. And you go, wow, like been here 35 years and I feel like I'm kind of just discovering this, how beautiful the state that I live in and call home is.
Yeah, I've got the same story with some of the little blackwater creeks and rivers down here. Like grew up with them right there. You drove over them on a bridge here and there, and you just never thought about them until you started fly fishing and wading. And you're like, hey, that looks like I can wade it. And lo and behold, there's fish in it and deer tracks on the riverbanks and flowers you've never seen before, and just a whole little world sitting there waiting on you. Well, what does it look like for folks who are getting ready going out this weekend? What's it going to look like this weekend, you think? And what's kind of the next thing coming down the pipe in the fishing calendar on the Cahaba? What should folks be getting ready for?
So what we got coming up, my projections. So we got no foreseeable. There's a little bit of chance of rain. We sure could use it. Cahaba's getting a little lower. Like I said, sitting around 2-2 today, I believe, at the West Blocked Engage. So I work right beside. I'm 3/10 of a mile from Cahaba River in Centerville at work. So thankfully, I get to look at that every single morning. And so what I expect, we got fish in the shoals. We got the big moon moving out. So this upcoming weekend, I would expect for, I'd be throwing, I ain't throwing nothing but top water to begin with. They're going to have to the fish just going to have to show me that they ain't going to eat it. And we're fishing top water heavy. The bite has been, when the bite, like I was talking about earlier, when the bite turns on, it's been very aggressive takes from the Alabama bass. We caught quite a few red eye as well. I'd be throwing number fours to number eight, some Sam's one bugs, stick with your blues, your pinks, your yellows, white ain't gonna hurt. Give it, definitely give every current seam. Don't be afraid to throw it up at the top of the riffle and just let that thing dead drift through. I mean the hard current. And they're coming up and they're making that bite right there. Hit your eddy pockets, work the front sides and the back sides of rocks, especially in the Cahaba. If you can see a shadow under a rock, there is all the probability in the world that there could be an Alabama bass sitting underneath that. And give it a couple of twitches. Not too, I don't fish top water real aggressive on the Cahaba. I like to give it a couple of subtle twitches or pops and then let it sit. And I mean, let it sit still longer than you feel comfortable. We're talking 7 to 9 seconds. And then if it's still in a spot that you like, you can leave it there a little bit longer, maybe give it another twitch, give it another 5 seconds, pick up and recast. Got a pretty good bit of impact strikes over this past weekend. I expect that to pick up. They're starting to get, they're on that backside of the spawn and they're starting to get real hungry and real aggressive again. So I definitely think with that moon moving out, maybe we can get a little bit of water in somewhere through the weekend. If we can just get a little bit of sprinkle, I think that water flow is going to pick the bite up as well. So again, I'd be throwing top water pretty aggressively. If I was going to go to anything else, there's lots of fry, lots of minnows out. So I'll be looking at something. If I'm throwing streamers, I want to be in the 1.5, probably no bigger than 3, 3.5 inch, as far as streamers goes. So maybe some micro game changers, clousers, peanut envies, anything in that nature. That's gonna be my move on those. I'll be looking at if I'm going subsurface, I'm going to be looking first. I'm going to be looking at olive and white, and then I might move to a chartreuse and white. And third choice, probably be hot pink and white.
Sounds like some fun times coming up. I know anytime the top water bite is on, that's definitely the preferred method of fishing. So, Peter, I always appreciate our guests who come on. Excited to have you on. Hope to have you on more in the future. And if folks are interested, if they want to go try a trip on the Cahaba, where's a good place to look you up at?
Yes, sir. You can, and Nick, I really appreciate you having me on. It's been a pleasure. If folks are looking to book a trip on the Cahaba, they can find us at flyfishingalabama.com. We got a Facebook page as well. Reach out, talk to old Stephen Rockerts, and he'll get you linked up with me or with himself. Or we got Andy up in Florence that's booking smallmouth trips as well. So give us a call, hit us up on the website, and get some days on the water, big lunch, and lots of fun fishing. It's really starting to heat up now, so it's prime time.
There we go. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks. Offer numerous items to help get your project done right the first time. They carry a variety of different panel profiles and your choice of colors and gauges with all the matching trim and accessories. They also offer a full line of hardware items and post-frame building design. Their friendly and knowledgeable sales representatives are always willing to help answer any questions or concerns you may have. Contact them with any questions or to get a free estimate today. Dixie Supply and Baker Metalworks, your metal roofing headquarters. All righty, guys, welcome back. This time we have Sandra Fuller, and she is the president/CEO of Lake Martin Tallapoosa County Tourism, as it's more commonly known as. Sandra, good to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was excited. I was just kind of, I can't remember if I picked you up on Facebook or just found it kind of digging through. I have a couple websites I try to keep up on current events in Alabama. But I saw the Tallapoosa River Fest and had to have you on the show. Like, went on the Tallapoosa River for the first time last year and fell in love with it. Did some floating, caught some fish, enjoyed the scenery, and just excited to see that there's kind of a scene growing up there. Like, I went to the little, y'all have a canoe livery up there, I think Canoe Alabama.
Float Alabama.
Float Alabama. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I spoke with the proprietor there. He kind of helped give me some information about the place. And then I've had Drew Morgan with East Alabama Fly Fishing on here several times to talk about the area and love it. Just a little tucked away area. So I figured we'd have you on and let you tell our audience more about the event that y'all got coming up pretty fast. June 1st, I think, right?
It is. It's less than 2 weeks away. So yeah, thank you. Absolutely. We thank you for having us. Thank you for letting us tell about our event. So we have, it's called the Tallapoosa River Fest Paddle. We've actually incorporated a festival with it this year. It's two separate events, but in conjunction with each other. And so the paddle itself, we reach out across the state of Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, see who's interested. We have about 100 paddlers that'll go on the river, along with about 30 safety paddlers. And they are from 27 different communities in the state of Alabama and two other states. So we have them all the way from Huntsville to Gulf Shores that's going to be driving in and paddling the Harold Banks Canoe Trail. So we're really super excited about it. It is our third year to have it. We skipped a year just to get prepared for conjunction with the festival. But this is our third year, and every year we seem to have probably 80-85% of the people that paddle it for that day are not from our area. And so that's our plans. We like to have to show that river to other people as well as locals. And so it's been a really huge success.
Yeah, it sounds like a good time. I've been to a couple of paddles like that, and it's always great to see a new body of water. But what's always really fun to me is it puts you in touch with people, like you said, people traveling in have canoed other rivers that I'm not familiar with, but want to get familiar with, you know. So I've gone to trips and then ended up hosting people who came down and wanted to check out the Mobile Tensaw Delta. And then I've gone on trips up around, you know, some of the rivers that feed into the Tennessee with people and not had to, you know, shoulder as much of the responsibility up there checking gauges and everything. You can just be like, okay, well, Sam says this is a good weekend to go. I'm just taking my canoe and I'm gonna follow his lead. So it's a great way to network if you like that sort of thing.
Absolutely. We love to have it during this time because we are very fortunate to have the Cahaba lilies on the water. We always say that if you want to paddle the river and see those, the best time is between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And so we're right in the middle of that. So we should have some really incredible blooms that are presenting themselves. But what's really fun about us putting it together as a festival or as a fest paddle, excuse me, is we treat them like a tourist. They meet at one location. We put their kayaks and canoes on a trailer. We transport those down to the river, and they don't have to worry about trying to find a place to park and then get back over there and get them to the other location. We put them on a bus, and we have a tour guide that tells them a little bit about the river going, and then we have them telling them a little bit about the Lake Martin area on their way back. And then once they get back, they have some really cool swag, t-shirts, and some fun things. And then we also feed them a meal. So it's just kind of a really fun, exciting day.
It sounds like a good time. Tell me a little bit more, or tell our listeners a little bit more. I've been on it, but tell me about that stretch of the Tallapoosa as it goes from Horseshoe to Jaybird.
Sure, absolutely. So we do have three stretches that people paddle, but they mainly paddle the Horseshoe Bend ramp to the Jaybird. And we call all of that obviously the Harold Banks Canoe Trail. And so that stretch has some really nice shoals, and it's got beautiful rock formations they call Laura's Leap, and they have an area that's called Peter's Island. It's just kind of tucked away under some trees that kind of grow over the top. There's some really fun parts of the water that give you a little bit more excitement, but it's definitely not anything that somebody that's kind of maybe a little more than a novice, but pretty much anyone can. I mean, I paddled it before too, and it's just a fun, easy paddle. Of course, Alabama Power hopefully is going to release some water that morning, and they just have to on their time, and hopefully that'll push us along down the river. It's a 6 mile float. Again, like I said, it's got a lot of the Cahaba lilies, which are absolutely beautiful, and just the rock formations. Anyway, it usually takes, if someone's just paddling, and not stopping and looking, they can be finished in 3 hours. But we hope that they will take in some of the sceneries and stop along the way and kind of enjoy it. So it is definitely one of the prettiest parts of the river, we feel like.
It was definitely beautiful, and like you said, it's a easy float, but it has just a little bit of, I guess, like some little class ones and like some of the side chutes off the main drag. We explored those when we went last
Yes.
year. The shoals were fun. Like you, there were some stretches where you had to kind of pay attention to what you were doing, but we made it through. Me and my buddy, who doesn't do a whole lot of canoeing, we made it through with no issues. We stayed dry the whole time except for getting out to wade, and the fishing was pretty good. I think we caught it at kind of odd time. We didn't catch it at peak, but we did catch bass. Y'all have some really nice red-breasted sunfish up there, which we don't get them this far south, so I always enjoy going up there and
Okay.
harassing them and catching some Tallapoosa bass.
Well, I'll have to tout out that more then so that we can let others know and get them over here on the water as well. So.
It's definitely a pretty river and a good fishing river. Tell me some more about the fest. I saw that y'all were having, I think it mentioned like some food and some different tents and stuff like that y'all would have there. And there's for folks who want to, there's some camping, right?
There is. So on the camping, we've just kind of played that in for those paddlers. A lot of times, some of the paddlers that just like to go to trails, they like to camp out. They, maybe don't necessarily want to jump in on a hotel. But so we do have some that are driving a good ways. And so we have a local area that has, I think it's Walkabout Ranch. It's, kind of geared with horses and different things such as that. But they have some land that you can just pop, it's really popping up a tent, just finding a place to lay your head for the evening. And so we do offer that. The festival, I think we've got a little over 30, 35 vendors, all different unique ones, not anything that's really duplicated. We kind of did that on purpose with some food trucks and just some unique stuff, some river items that they can pick up and do. And there's a cornhole tournament going on that day as well. It's a fundraiser for the fire department. The meals that'll be served, it's a fundraiser for the fire department. So there'll be specific meals for the paddlers. And then obviously they can cross across the street and go to the festival and get more food if they want more food. So yeah, we're just trying to make it a good fun day that they can take in a little more than just the paddle.
Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff to do up there too. Like we went and we stayed. I think is it Wind Creek up there?
Wind Creek State Park. It is. It's actually the largest RV park in the state of Alabama.
Yeah.
587, I think, campsites. I think there's over 150 waterfront ones, but just a beautiful place. It has lots of things to do there: horse riding, putt-putt, zip line, archery, fishing. You can rent a boat to get out on the lake, Barton. So there's just tons of things, and we do have people actually go and stay there, and then take in the paddle as well. So just a lot of fun things to do.
It's a nice place to stay, and I know that sounds like the biggest RV park. Like it sounds like it would be busy, but when we went, it was really well managed. Like there were people there, but you didn't have folks stacked up on top of you. We rented a cabin, and it was kind of funny. The fishing there at the cabin, it was lakeside. We caught more fish that evening when we got done with the paddle. Just sitting there hanging out sight fishing for bluegills, just how that weekend worked out. So it was a good
That
time.
is fun. Yeah, there is. When you go at different times of the season at the Wind Creek State Park, it's definitely not as crowded. If you hit the 4th of July, Memorial Day, or Labor Day, then you definitely have a packed house then. So for the most part, it's very pleasant and not as crowded as some might think. Very well run though. And it's not far from where the river is. I think it's 10 to 15 minute drive.
Yeah, it's not far at all to go there, and then you're close to Alexander City is a good size for a little vacation getaway. There's some good restaurants up there, but there's not a whole lot of traffic. I've been up there several times in the past couple of years, and it's starting to grow on me. We've traditionally, me and my family, we've always gone up northeast and hit DeSoto and Little River Canyon or hit Sipsey, that area, but about half the drive to get up there to Lake Martin from where I'm at, and it's really starting to grow on me, the Tallapoosa is.
We love that. And actually, we hear that a lot. We've actually had a lot of people moving into the Lake Martin area, a lot of folks. And, we have probably on Lake Martin over 350 short-term rentals. So there's a lot of lodging options from any price range you can imagine. But the downtown is it's just very nice. And it's got several restaurants, different types. I would say there's probably eight different types of cuisine restaurants just in that downtown area. So a little bit more nightlife going on for those who want the nightlife piece of it as well, but definitely just a really nice place to hang out and spend time with your family.
Yeah, for sure. And there's definitely, Lake Martin is not exactly an undiscovered gem or a well-kept secret or anything like that. But I feel like the Tallapoosa itself is. Like I've lived here my whole life, and it wasn't until last year that I really got to looking on a map and saw that big stretch, the Harold Banks Trail kind of in between the lakes. It runs through an area where it's still pretty undeveloped and undisturbed. You definitely
It is.
feel like you're getting away from it all there for a couple hours. It's different than the lake where you've got those houses and the boats and, it's nice, but you get on the river and there's nothing except those little canoe launches.
A lot of the land, if not all of it, through that stretch is Alabama Power. So it is very untouched. And it's just beautiful that way, actually. But I noticed it early on when I came into tourism a little over 5 years ago. And I still today, when I talk to many, many organizations just locally, they've never been on the river. And I'm like, oh, wow, you need to do this. You just don't. A matter of fact, when we started the Riverfest, started getting some of my family to help us get it going and driving trucks and things. And the next thing I know, several have bought kayaks and they go all the time. And they had never, ever been and love it. So we continue to talk about it, whether it's locals or not. Really try to get people to kind of experience that. It's right there next to the Horseshoe Bend National Military Park. So if someone wants to take in the park, the trails there, the museum, I certainly can do that. It's literally right across the road.
Yeah, the park itself is pretty and well kept and has some pretty interesting local history there. And now that I've been on the Tallapoosa River, like I feel the reason that it doesn't get talked about as much and utilized is we have a really big powerboat culture here with all of our big rivers and deep lakes, and you're definitely not running your bass boat up and down that stretch of the
No,
Tallapoosa. Like you
not at
really
all.
have to, you have to have a canoe to experience that. There's not much getting a boat up and down it.
You definitely do. There are a lot of rock formations kind of in the water as well as out, and but perfectly safe. You know, if you're going in the morning and you've got water released, you definitely have a good flow and it's going to move you along. But you go in the afternoon, we did that with a photo shoot and we paddled around rocks, but it wasn't anything. Like I said, it was very easy to do and a little bit slower, but definitely just a fun time either way, whether you tried the morning or the evening. I think people love it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would definitely. Anybody listening in, I think this is, if you've never been, I think this gives you an excellent opportunity to go with people who know the area, meet some cool people, enjoy a good scene, just have a good, safe, clean, family-friendly weekend. Sandra, I really appreciate you coming on and talking to us about it. If folks want to learn more about it, where's a good place to go to read up on how to register and where they need to go and all that?
Absolutely. So they will go to explorelakemartin.com. And on that homepage is a tab that says Riverfest. And it'll take them to the festival and the fest. And it also will take them to a lot of information just about the river. If they go into the on the water section, it'll show about Lake Martin, tons of things to do there. But there's also one about the river and the paddle and just some directions and some details about it. So would love to have them.
There we go. Guys, y'all definitely go check it out. Sandra, thanks for being on the show.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Thank you.
This week's episode has been brought to you by. Alrighty, guys, we are back. This time we've got Dip McMillan down here on the Mobile 10 Saw Delta. Dip, been a while, man. What you been up to?
Nothing much, Nick. Trying to get used to this hot weather, which I don't think I'll never get used to. But other than that, man, just working and fishing.
Man, that I know you work outside. I'm lucky. I'm just a desk jockey. But yeah, I was up on my roof the other day. I was sitting there cleaning out gutters, and it was hot up on top of that roof. It was like 92. The real feel was like 96. And on that roof, man, I told my wife, I said, "Hey, I need a old blanket. I'm gonna do some work up there." She said, "What do you need a blanket for?" I said, "Well, I either need a blanket or you need to go get me some Pam Cook spray so I don't stick to the shingles."
I'm telling you, man, it's been hot.
It's been terrible. Well, what is that translated to? I ain't had my boat out here in a little bit. What's the water temperature looking like on there? Is the water temperature still low or is it starting to come up too?
Oh, it's starting to come up big time. This past weekend, the water temperature in certain areas between 78 and 80 degrees, man. So,
Yeah.
I ain't no telling what this week. This week right here, man, it may be in the mid 80s, so it's coming up big time.
Yeah, I tell you what too, I was just out last weekend. I was actually up in Three Mile Creek, and I don't know, I've never, satisfactorily answered to myself the condition when to really bass spawn. I've heard different things here locally, but I watched. It was cool. I've never seen this before. I got up in the shallows and was fishing, and I looked and I saw a big bass sitting on a sandy spot, looked like almost like a brim bed. But then there was a smaller bass there with her. Like you had the big female and then the male, and they were doing like the little spawning dance, like rubbing up on each other and just kind of circling each other. And they were, of course, they weren't interested in anything I tried to throw at them. They were preoccupied. But yeah, it was kind of cool to watch that. I'd never actually watched bass spawn up in a little creek somewhere.
Man, that's nice.
Yeah. Well, man, with the water warming up, what's your strategy usually? Do you go deeper? Do you try to get up into little creeks that kind of get some spring water and some rainfall? Like what, or I guess backing up, what does that climbing water temperature do to the fish?
Different areas, depending on where you're fishing at, those fish do different things. We call some people call it the thermocline. Sometimes they just school up and get above that thermocline when that water temperature get hot. And on tensaw on the in the back creeks and lakes, man, they just congregated on structure. And I just got done talking to a buddy probably about 20 minutes ago. And he targeted something this morning on structure. And structure in that grass that's on bottom of the water, man. I've been seeing that a lot lately, too. Like I said, that dark grass, not the one you're able to see but the one that's on your depth finder and your live scope that's on the very bottom, some crappie be hiding in it, man. And he said he caught a lot of them this morning on it, which I did this past weekend too, or on heavy structure. Now that's on the tensaw, but like you get over there on the Mobile side and the town Big Bill on certain lakes over there, you get in that thermocline and them fish just suspended eating on shad in the cool water column.
It's still weird. I know you've talked to me about that before, how it can be different on one side of the swamp versus the other, which still impresses me that you can have that kind of difference right there in the same geographic location. Yeah, the thermocline, it's interesting. I remember the first time when I first got my down scan and was riding through the water and come across the thermocline and then was sitting there trying to figure out what happened to my depth finder. Because I rode for a couple miles and it's like, well, that's weird. It like it, you know, 20, 30 feet, like it just cuts off and it's just, you could see, like you couldn't get any returns. It was just static. It is interesting how you can see that on there. And then I went home and had to read up on it. And, we've actually had conversations with some guests before and we put that on a tip in the magazine. People talked about how, you know, they can't survive below the thermocline. But they'll use that cooler water down there at the bottom. They'll hover right there at it. And
yep.
I've heard it theorized that they dip into it to cool off, almost like air conditioner unit, but then they can't breathe down there because it's low oxygen, so they got to come up periodically to breathe,
yep.
Which is crazy.
Yep, it is crazy.
Well, talk to me a little bit. I know I couldn't make it. I stay pretty tied up here with kiddo, but I saw on social media, did y'all have a good turnout there at Becky's place this past weekend?
Yeah, man, the annual DP Outdoors and the ATX seminar, crappie seminar, man, it was outstanding. Last year, we didn't advertise that much. We just did it the week of and only had 4 participants. But this year, we was able to advertise it about 2.5, 2 weeks, and we ended up having close to 60 people. 4 to 60 people in a year's time, man, that's just unreal. Unreal. And it was outstanding. We had some more guys that fish with me on the Delta Crappie Series. They came. And they, matter of fact, they helped me out a lot. Travis Hudson, Scott Dees, Bill Bush. I mean, they were just talking to the crowd, man, and it was awesome time up there, man. Everybody learned something from that event. And a lot of people, including all of us, took some prizes home. Engel coolers, ATS jigs, Deep Outdoors hats, rod and ACC rod and reel. I mean, it was awesome time, man. I mean, then also Shotgun Barbecue, man. He came and catered everybody, man. Everything was free. Can't beat it at all.
Yeah, that's a Shotgun Barbecue. I need to swing back by there one night. I've been there a couple times. I was glad when they opened up because up here where I'm at, we're far away from a lot of the stuff in town, so it's good to have a good restaurant close by. But no, that's awesome, man, that it grew that much from one year to the next. I know the you said the same thing happened with the tournament. I need to go, before you get too popular, I need to go ahead and get you to sign one of them Dippy Outdoors hats for me so that when next year, when you got 6,000 people show up at your seminar, people think I'm big stuff because I got your autograph.
Man, it's just been a blessing from the good Lord, man. That seminar, I'm telling you, man, it helped everybody out. We all learned something from each other last Sunday, man. It was a great time for sure. I'll never forget that. And I think we already plan for next year. It's going to be probably even bigger.
That's awesome. Are you going to have it at the same place? Or I imagine y'all were getting close to kind of outgrowing Boutwell Bait and Tackle there.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep it there. I don't care. We have to park down the road and flag people in there. We always, once I start something just like the Deep Outdoors Crappie Tournament, Kids Crappie Tournament at Hubbard, I won't leave there because, I mean, I'm a firm believer. That's where we started at, and that's where we ended at. So we won't go to another place to do that crappie seminar. We'll stay at Miss Becky Boutwell.
Well, that's good. That's good. If y'all get ready, if y'all need to go up there and set up some temps or build a podium or something, let me know. I'll bring my hammer. I'll help you out. That's good. I hope it drives some traffic to her because I've been buying bait there for a while now. I refuse to buy shiners anywhere else.
Me too, man. It's been a blessing to have her close to the tensaw by 4.
Oh, yeah. Well, what are we looking at? What do you think? I know it's still on paper, it's spring, but we all know it's summer and it's going to stay summer until I guess about Thanksgiving down here. What's that summer bite going to be looking at as we start moving forward here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, as of Sunday, me and Kyle Reese from ATX, we went out, and I think those fish are starting, especially on the tensile, to get in that summer pattern, which I love it. And I, like I said again, I talked to my buddy about 20, 30 minutes ago. He said the same thing, too. They was in 8 to 10 foot the water today, and it was the same way last Sunday. And I think from this time right here, you can catch them fish all the way up in that range till, I say, September. They just get on that heavy structure, and they hit anything come their way, man. They're very aggressive. So we had a neat tide past Sunday. Now, the fish, seen a lot of fish, but different structure was better than other. I mean, they just, that tide wasn't doing that much. So some structure they did good and some didn't, but seen a lot of fish. But we still caught a good mess of fish, too, on the ATX jig. But, yeah, that summertime pattern right now is going to stay here. I mean, like I try to tell people, don't let that hot weather say you need to go deeper, especially on the tensile. Just find you some good structure, whether it's going to be on the main river or in the lakes. If you got electronics, let your electronics guide you, too. If you don't have electronics, just use a slipping cork or get a jig and just vertical jig on that structure. If that crappie anywhere on that structure in that area, he's going to bite it. So don't stay there all day. Just keep on moving.
Yeah. What about, I know you're mainly a crappie guy, but in the summertime, is there anything else that you do occasionally if the bite slows down or if you just get tired of cleaning fish? Do you bass fish or do any cat fishing here in the summer?
Not really, man. I very seldom just stop crappie fishing. I don't bass fish pier. So if I get a little hair, I may pick up some crickets and catch a few brims. But other than that, man, I'm crappie fishing. And to me, anybody can tell you that know me well. From early June to August, it's one of my favorite time of the year to fish certain areas on the Mobile and the Alabama and Tumbic to catch big white crappie. I know it's hot. I got a Millennium umbrella on my boat. It's just for those summer months. I mean, besides November and December and the first week of January, like I said, June and July are my favorite time. I'm telling you, I've marked it on the calendar, man. It's big fish time to be caught.
You talk about that Millennium umbrella. I know I've been a big fan of the Millennium seats that I got in my John boat. That was probably out of everything that I've bought fishing gear-wise. And it sounds like a pitch, but that, as far as keeping me and my wife out there and comfortable and just having a good time, that was probably the best money I've ever spent on anything. How you like the umbrella? I've been eyeballing the umbrella. Is it as good as their seats are?
Man, I'm going to tell you, anything, I'm just going to be straight up with you because I am a Millennium person. Anything that Millennium makes is good. From the umbrellas, matter of fact, I got a couple of ladder stands. Anything they make, man, they are just awesome, man. I got the rod holders on my crappie boat, and that umbrella is phenomenal, man. You can, if the sun is in one direction, you can tilt it that way and still have it out of your way enough to spider fish, man. It's a spider rig. Now, you know, I love spider rig, but you can still have that umbrella. It tilt any way you want to have you enough angle for that reel won't hit your umbrella. I mean, and it cover half of my boat. You know, I got a 20-foot boat, and it covers from the front to almost to the center console. So if I'm fishing with two people, man, we won't get hot at all. I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah, I've looked at them. It looks cool. I think, I don't know if they've always been this way, but I think the one that I was looking at the other day had the, it's got some sort of vent up top, and they say that's supposed to keep it from, like, accumulating hot air up underneath it, you know, as the umbrella heats up, like it's supposed to let air flow through there, and they say it's cooler than just your regular old beach umbrella.
I guarantee it. I got that same umbrella, man. It's unreal. I mean, I'm a firm believer of it now, man. I seen a couple of people had it a few years ago, and I was able to get one last year, man, and it's a game changer for rift, especially if you're going to fish June and July in August, man, because it's about to be rough out there, man. At 9, 10 o'clock in the morning, I mean, it's 90, 95 degrees already.
Yeah, it definitely is shocking how quick it starts heating up. And, you know, I mean, we had a pretty mild spring, really. We got a long, long stretch of pretty good weather, so it's hard to complain. But, it's here now. Buffalo gnats, and at my house, it seems like every day I end up with a horsefly coming in and out my house as I go back and forth in my driveway. And yeah. Oh, goodness. I tell you what, they're pretty if you look at them up close, but you don't want to look up too close at them. You don't want one to bite you.
Mm-mm. I agree.
Well, Dip, I always enjoy having you on the show. Glad that we got to catch up a little bit. I know you got a lot going on. How's the status coming before we let you go? We got big plans for the kids tournament this year?
Well, man, the kids tournament is growing every day. We picking up sponsors every day. It's phenomenal, man. I just had a big package from North Baldwin EMC, man. They gave me 40 some rods and reels yesterday, man. Just a blessing, man. Them guys up there just surprised me at work with all those rods and reels. I mean, it's just a blessing. We got a couple things coming on, and I do know this. I just talked to another taxidermist. This year we're going to have – last year we only had one first-place crappie got mounted for a kid. This year we're going to have two crappie get mounted for a kid. The two biggest crappie get mounted, free mount. So then we got Buy Right Utility Trailer. We're going to be giving a kid a free – I want to say 6x10 or 6x12, a brand new utility trailer. I'm pretty sure some kayaks and stuff gonna be coming in here soon. So it's about the summer's here, school is out, and during that time right there, man, is blessing about to start happening, man. We're gonna start getting all kinds of stuff here coming here lately. Get ready for August, because August is gonna be here before you know it.
Yeah, I know that's awesome with the taxidermy. I know the first the first skull mount that I ever got done on the first buck I ever shot, but then my folks paid to have my first 8-point shoulder mounted, and I've shot bigger deer since then, and I have paid for better done taxidermy, but that is still my favorite deer to look at on the wall. So I know you catch a fish when you're a kid, especially if you win a tournament. Like, that's gonna be something that's gonna be hanging up on their wall forever. They're gonna be telling their kids about it. So that's awesome that they're doing that for y'all.
Oh man, it's been a blessing, man. I can't thank you. I can't thank the community and everybody involved, man. To take a village to run something like this, man, and it has grown tremendously, man. So we're just gonna keep on striving, man, to make it better every year.
There we go. Well, Dip, always a pleasure having you on the show. And at some point, you'll have to come up here, and we'll have to do a little bit of fishing.
Sound like a plan, man. Just let me know.
Yes, sir. This week's episode has been brought to you by. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Please subscribe, rate, and review wherever you listen to podcasts. And again, don't forget to text that code ALFFR to 779-345-2918. Again, just text ALFFR, that's Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report, to 779-345-2918. Subscribe to our email list, and we'll send you the promo code via email. This week's episode of the Alabama Freshwater Fishing Report has been brought to you by L&M Marine. L&M Marine has something for everyone, from small hunting boats to pontoons to bigger bay and hybrid boats for the hardcore angler. You can visit them at 34600 Highway 59 in Stapleton, Alabama, or give them a call at 251-937-1380. Also by Fish Bites. Whether you're hitting the sand with set rig or fishing the flats and marshes for speckled trout, redfish, and flounder, Fish Bites has something for you. Check out the full line of scented saltwater and freshwater baits at fishbites.com. Also brought to you by Southeastern Pond Management. Since 1989, Southeastern Pond Management has been a leader in pond and lake management services. Schedule an obligation-free consultation today. Call 1-888-830-POND or info at secpond.com.